Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Let's grab our Bibles. Exodus chapter 13 is where we're going to be today. We were in Exodus chapter 12 on Easter Sunday. And I know that was a shock to some of you that you're like, wait, we are on Exodus on Easter. We had one guy on Saturday night walk in. He said, hey, we're not in Exodus today, are we? And they said, yeah, we are. And he ran back to grab his notebook so that he could take notes. And so the gospel of Jesus is present even in the Old Testament, even in Exodus chapter 12. And now we get into chapter 13. And today I want to talk about God's timing in your life. God's timing in your life. And the title of our message today is God's timing is everything. Have you seen that true in your own life? That God's timing in your life is everything. Last Sunday, we learned that some 2 million Jews have had an exodus out of Egypt, and by the power of God, God has sent 10 plagues. We talked about the 10th last Sunday, and this 10th plague has been the death of the firstborn of all of the Egyptian households, and it has been the final thing that has taken Pharaoh to the mat, where he has finally relented and let the people of God go, and so they have left Egypt. They have plundered the Egyptians on the way out to their own shock and surprise. And it's in the next few verses here that God gives them instructions about the future, how they are to hold the Passover, which we talked about last Sunday, to what they are supposed to do in consecrating their own firstborn, to remember what God had done in this whole Exodus journey. And all this brings us to a significant passage that will not only be significant for today, but this will be a passage that in many ways carries them through the rest of the Exodus journey. And it'll make sense the more we go on today. So here's where we'll pick up. Look all the way down at verse 17 of Exodus 13. The Bible says this, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. That's a very, very important phrase that'll explain where we're headed today. Although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. You may wonder, well, who are these Philistines? Or I had a seminary professor who called them the Philistines. So whichever one you want, sounds more proper, doesn't it? And so throughout the Old Testament, you see the Philistines ultimately end up being a constant pester or a constant annoyance to the people of Israel. They always seem to be at battle with Israel. And here, God ultimately says the quickest way to the promised land, so from here in Egypt to Canaan, was through Philistine land. I'll show you a map here in a moment. But God believed that Israel could not handle that route. You say, well, why didn't God believe they could handle the route? He tells us in that verse, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. In other words, Israel cannot handle it. It's almost like God was expressing doubt in their faith. And this is a little bit of a forecasting of what's about to happen in the rest of the book of Exodus. Because here's what God knew. Fear will make you do some crazy things. You seen that in your own life? Fear will make you do some crazy things. Sometimes when you see somebody and you're like, man, she went nuts. Like she went crazy. Or that dude blew up. Really, when you dig down to the root of people's stuff sometimes and their emotional outburst is it's really all rooted in fear. And God knew Israel's heart, and God knew that their fear would cause them to do something crazy. That instead of go to battle and instead of warring against the Philistines, they would turn around and return to slavery in Egypt. Douglas Stewart writes it this way. He said, would Israel really be so inconsistent as to give up the conquest and return to Egypt of all places? And would they do so after all they had seen and experienced in the 10 plagues? The answer is yes, decidedly yes. God knew their limited perspectives and naive expectations full well and thus led them away from Philistine territory. Guess what? God also knows our own limited perspectives and naive expectations. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes God leads us away from some things because of what he knows about the future of our lives. Let's talk about these two things. Let's talk about limited perspectives and naive expectations. Okay, let's talk about limited perspectives first of all. All of us carry a limited perspective on life. We only know the past and we only know the present, but none of us know the future. Isn't that true? All of us know what's happened in our past. All of us have at least some grasp of what's taking place in our present, but none of us know the future. We don't know what health challenges are about to hit. We don't know what's about to happen in the job or career. We don't know if we're really going to be able to pass biology or not. Like we don't know all of those things. We are limited in our perspective. We don't know what's about to happen 5 minutes from now, much less 5 years from now. We don't know what God's about to call us to in our lives, that he's got to take us through a little bit of a preparation process in order for us to ultimately be able to handle what's in the future. So all of us have a limited perspective. We all agree on that so far? We also all carry naive expectations. Every single one of us are guilty about this one. We spoke a little about this last week. It's something we know in our heads, but when it happens, it hurts our hearts. Like, we don't think that we're really going to have to face pain, and when we do, we get mad at God. We don't really think that surely God's not going to allow any trouble in my life, and when he does, it hurts. I had two different conversations out there at the First Time Guest area. I'll be there again. I would love to meet you and pray for you. I had two conversations with two different people who both were walking through suffering, and they related in many ways to my own way that I relate with suffering, just like you relate. A shock that they're having to go through it, and frustration they're having to go through it, and they don't really understand why God is having them go through it. Is that not how you and I also respond? I wish this wasn't happening. I don't like that it's happening. And I wish that I understood what God was ultimately doing. All of us are the exact same way in our naive expectations about life, that nothing bad will ever happen to me. And if it does, then I don't know that I could sing the second song about all my life you have been faithful. And so we all have naive expectations. Can I give you a deep statement? Like, this is like why you come to Cross Church for this kind of stuff right here, okay? It's deep yet extremely simple all at the same time. You ready for it? Thanks. Appreciate that all the way up there. Write this one down. You need to remember this one. God knows what you do not know. It's pretty deep, is it not? God knows what you do not know. Seems trite, seems a little bit elementary and comical almost, but I think Exodus 13 reminds us God knows some things that you and I do not know. How many of you have ever heard of Adrian Rogers, famous pastor in Memphis? He's now with the Lord. Adrian Rogers once referenced this part of the story of Exodus as a detour. And here's what he said about it. He says, God is leading us roundabout because he knows we're not quite ready for some of the things that he has in store for us. Let me just read that to you again. God is leading us roundabout because he knows we're not quite ready for some of the things he has in store for us. Anybody ever get confused on a roundabout? Man, when those things started popping up in Northwest Arkansas, I'm like, I don't know what to do here, okay? This is a little bit of a strange thing. And if you're not careful, you get caught in that roundabout and you keep going. That's a wedding trick question. You keep going roundabout and there's a little bit of a frustrating nature to it. You get panicked of who's merging with me and where they merge and where am I exiting? And you're trying to follow on your maps. And it's like, you can exit after the second exit. Like, I don't know which one that is. And you keep going roundabout, okay? Sometimes God brings us on a roundabout. And you don't exactly know what you're doing. You don't exactly know what God is doing. And yet in our arrogance, listen to me, in our arrogance, we think that we are prepared for anything that might come our way. And the thought of God making us wait. Why in the world would God do that, right? The truth is that God sometimes sends us to the roundabout. He sends us to a place whereby he puts us on a process of sanctification. And he begins to form us and mold us to be more like Jesus. And we want to go that way, or we want to go that way. And yet he keeps us on the roundabout and he keeps us preparing for what's ahead. One of our past messages in this series was called God's Work in Your Life on the Way to Your Calling. And in that message, we gave a similar little talk as this section of the message, that God will do a purifying work in your life, a refiner's work in your life, where he will mold you into the person that he desires you to be. And God doesn't do that through a straight shot, but through a roundabout. In your life, I want you to never underestimate two things. And I think we get these here from Exodus chapter 13. Write these down if you're taking notes. Number one, never underestimate God's timing. This is the thrust of the message today. This is what we're speaking about today. God's timing in your life, and God's timing being everything in your life. In this passage, God is operating off of right timing and wrong timing. It is not the right timing for Israel to go straight through Philistine land, straight to the land of Canaan, the promised land, because God literally knows that if they face war, they will turn right back around and they will head, as crazy as it sounds, they will head right back into slavery. And God withheld. Let's just say those two words together. God withheld. Do you know sometimes God withholds things from you? Because he knows we cannot handle it yet. God withheld a quicker journey. And they started crying. God withheld a quicker journey because he knew they could not handle that path. God speaking to anybody yet about your own life? As Adrian Rogers said, God knew they weren't ready for some of the things that God had in store for them. So here's just a big question for you. How many of you, and this is a rhetorical question, meaning you don't answer out loud, okay? How many of you are wrestling with God over his timing? You're frustrated with God. Mad at God because he's withheld something or he's done something different than you expected. How many of you would say, Nick, I thought by this point in my life, I'd be married. Or Nick, I thought by this point in my career, I'd be at X and I am at Y. I thought that this would happen in my life. I thought that that would happen in my life. And for whatever reason, God has withheld. What is the real issue you're wrestling with? You've got to get to a place where you trust that the Lord knows some things that you do not know. It's coming back to the place of God's sovereignty in my life, his control over every aspect of my life and knowledge over every aspect of my life. He's greater than what I know in my life. You see, knowledge affects timing. In every part of our lives, knowledge affects timing. Like for instance, I've got four kids, ages 16 all the way down to 9. And so I've been through the infant stage four times. I'm so glad I'm not at the infant stage any longer. But the four infants that I've had throughout my parenthood, not once did I ever take my little infant to Outback and order an Outback special and say, all right, come here, little boy. You're gonna love this piece of steak and shove it in any of my four kids' mouth. Why? They were not ready for steak. Okay? I remember when we started this campus 13 years ago. Within the first few weeks, I remember a family came into my office and said, now you guys have bought property already, haven't you? And I was like, no, I got no property. Why didn't we build this building 2 weeks into the launch when really from day one, God exploded this thing? Because we could not handle it financially. Knowledge affected timing. Why have the Dallas Cowboys not won a Super Bowl since I was in the sixth grade? Well, because I know it's not the Lord's timing yet. And for whatever reason, God has withheld. But I am trusting the Lord to give that to me in his timing, which I believe is next season. Okay, I'm just kidding. You see the principle that I'm given? Knowledge affects timing. Even in how you parent or grandparent your own children, you withhold certain things they know they can't handle. You don't give your five-year-old the car keys. And in the same way, God withholds things he knows you cannot handle. So will we trust him when he withholds? So never underestimate God's timing. Here's the second thing. Never underestimate an experience with God. Really, I'm going to forecast where we're headed for the next several chapters together. Sometimes God has to take you to the wilderness before he can take you to the promised land. Did you get that? Sometimes God has to take you to the desert of the wilderness before he can take you to the promised land. Some of you are here today and you say, Nick, well, man, as soon as you talk about the wilderness, that's exactly where I feel like I'm at. I feel like I'm just wandering through life. I don't know which way is up, which way is down. And there's something about the wilderness of life that honestly, it is disorienting. And in a few weeks, we're going to talk about that very thing right there when God's doing that in our lives. But sometimes God takes you through the experience of the wilderness. There are other times where God has to take you to the mountain before he can take you to the promised land. God is about to take them on a journey that leads through Mount Sinai. And if you know anything about the book of Exodus, you know that Mount Sinai is a significant part of the book of Exodus. And so sometimes God's got to take you to Sinai before he can take you to Canaan. Sometimes you have to experience the presence of God so that it can lead you towards the next thing. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get what I'm about to say, okay? Everybody in the student room, listen up. Everybody in this room, listen up. Sometimes God is doing things in your life that you do not understand. And he's got you on a journey. Maybe he's got you on the roundabout through the wilderness. You're in a season of change. You're in a process of becoming more like him. And listen to me, it is further preparation for your life if you'll let God do it in you. With both of the people I spoke with after the 8 o'clock service, I said, listen, you're at a fork in the road. Anytime you walk through suffering in your life, you can do one of two things. Some people run far from God when suffering hits. It's where some of you are at in this room, some of you in the student room. You're running from God because of what you've been through in life. Other times, you use that opportunity of the fork in the road of suffering to really lean into God. One of those paths is filled with becoming more like Jesus. I'll let you determine which one that is. Lean into God today with every part of who you are, okay? Now, that's the first verse. Let's get to verse 2, okay? We're going to go much quicker from this point forward. Look at verse 18. It says, but God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle, okay? So let's throw this map up here. Here's a map. There are actually different opinions of the wilderness journey that the Israelites took. This is just one opinion, okay? But everybody see the blue line, okay? You ever been to a big city where you got subways? If you take the blue line, you get from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan in 11 days. Through, guess what? Through the land of the Philistines. 11 days it should have taken them to walk to Canaan. This yellow line is the route that they took. And this, spoiler alert for Exodus here, the yellow line represents the next 40 years of their journey in the wilderness. And it would take them all the way down. You see where Mount Sinai is pointed to. Not everyone believes that that is actually Mount Sinai. It was a different message altogether. But it will carry them to Mount Sinai and then up. And then they kind of all the way around before they ultimately enter into the promised land. Okay. Now, the Bible is about to mention a guy named Joseph. This is not Mary and Joseph. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. It references back to the book of Genesis, and you say, okay, so why is it a departure from where we're at? It's actually not a departure from the principle today. Look at verse 19. It said, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. Again, Joseph's whole story, not a departure from a conversation about God's timing or even about suffering. Do you remember the story of Joseph? If you're brand new to church or to the Bible, let me help you here. Joseph had many brothers. His father favored him over all the other brothers, gave him a coat of many colors. It was actually kind of a dysfunctional family where he favored him in such a way that the brothers hated him, and not just kind of disliked him, hated him to such an extent that one day out in the field, they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery, and ultimately lied to their father that he had been killed. The slave traders that they sold him to were on their way to Egypt, and over the next several years of his life, Joseph's life looks a lot like a heartbeat monitor, up and down, up and down, up and down. If there's one man who endured suffering in the Bible, maybe alongside Job, you'd say, I'd say it was Joseph. Ups and downs, twists and turns. He's falsely accused, thrown in prison. He's out of prison, elevated into power. And the Bible devotes significant time from Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50 describing this whole journey of pain, suffering, timing, and trusting the Lord. We did a series on the life of Joseph a couple of years ago. I think it was called Sovereign Over Me. If you want to go online, you can find that. Ultimately, there's a massive famine across the countries, and Joseph's brothers come to Egypt looking for help, looking for food. And here it is. Joseph has the ultimate opportunity to get revenge, to settle the score. He could have imprisoned them, even killed them. And instead, what does he do? Genesis chapter 45. He says, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Talk about perspective, right? God sent me before you to preserve life. You see, Joseph understood God's timing and God's experience that God would ultimately use all of these things, all of the suffering in his life for good. Many of you came to our marriage conference a month or two ago. We had a guy by the name of Pastor Brandon Thomas from the Metroplex come, and Sunday night he spoke to the marriage conference. Monday morning we had him stay over, and he spoke to our staff from across the campuses, and he spoke to us about ministry, and he spoke to us about leadership pain. And the background of his whole talk was the life and ministry of Joseph, the ups and downs of suffering. And here's how he said it. Okay, I thought this was so good. I wrote it down. I think it applies today. You would have never gotten to where you wanted to be without your own Joseph journey. You would have never gotten to where you wanted to be, or I could say where you needed to be without your own Joseph journey. Some of you God has on a Joseph journey right now. Some of you God has on an Israelite journey where you are up and down and all around. And you're not in a clear season. In fact, if I were to ask you to describe the season you're in, you say, Nick, it's fuzzy. It's cloudy. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know which way I'm supposed to go. I have no idea what it is that God's trying to do in my life. But he's working. As you look at verse 19, anybody think it's kind of weird that they took his bones with them to the promised land? A little odd. I was inspired by this, and I'll just say it kind of as a group thing. Whenever I die, if they ever build a Chewy's closer to my home, pick up my bones and... Just kidding. Stupid, I know. Hebrews chapter 11, remember the Hall of Fame of Faith gives us a little more context here. Hebrews 11 verse 22 says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. So convinced that in the timing of God, God would move. 400 plus years later, and God moved. And they pick up his bones. By faith, Joseph knew that God was working a bigger story. If you don't take away anything else besides that, I would encourage you to take that away as a follower of Jesus today. God is working a bigger story. Some of you need to write that down. You need to put it on a little sticky note. You need to stick it all over your house. Stick it in your car. Stick it on your forehead. It needs to be common lingo in your family right now. God is working a bigger story. He's working a bigger story. He's working a bigger story. Do you believe it? The passage ends like this, verse 20. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them. Aren't you grateful that God goes before us? He went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So God didn't leave them on their own throughout the whole wilderness journey, but God gave them a cloud, and they were to move when the cloud moved, and they were to stop when the cloud stopped. And this would be the process for the next many years to come. By the way, it's a good way to live your life. When God says move, you move. When he says stop, you say stop. Now, does anybody else in the room wish that God would give you a cloud? Yeah. That's the hard part, is discerning what it is that God is asking us to do. And here's what I tell you. Whenever you are in a season of trying to discern what God is asking you to do, you will never get there apart from intimacy with Christ. So in other words, you can't be at a distance from God and hear from God clearly. And no, God does not give us, as helpful as that would be, a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. But what God does give us is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when you're walking closely with Jesus, here's what you'll sense. Hey, this is right. Move forward. This is right. How many of you have that internal voice of the Holy Spirit pushing you forward in something right now? Maybe it's to take a job. Maybe it's to give your life to Christ. Maybe it's to take some other step. And you know inside, internally, the Holy Spirit saying, hey, this is the way, walk in it, as the Bible says. Holy Spirit also does the opposite. Holy Spirit also says, no, it's not right. How many of you are in dating relationships where the Holy Spirit says, no. But you just, no, I don't need that right now. She's really good looking. Or he's really cute. How many of you are taking steps in your career that God has said, that's not right? That's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And over the next many, many chapters of the book of Exodus, you will see God lead them little by little along the way. Are you following what God has asked you to do so far in your life? It's a great, check up on your Christian life question. Am I doing right now what God has asked me to do? In other words, am I moving forward where God is asking me to move forward? Am I pausing where God has asked me to pause? Could it be, surely in this room and in the room over in the student building right over there, that God has some of you here in a waiting season? Anybody? Are you in a place where you think to yourself, Nick, I don't know what God is doing? When you talk about the roundabout, I feel like I'm on the roundabout. I don't know why God has withheld certain things from me. I wanted the promotion, God has withheld. I wanted a relationship, God has withheld. I wanted fill in the blank, God has withheld. And so the place of maturity for every follower of Jesus to get to today is God has given me exactly what he has wanted to give to me. And what he has withheld from me, there is a purpose. Let me say those two things again. What God has wanted to give to me, he has given to me. And what God has wanted to withhold from me, he has withheld from me. And here's what I tell you, Christ follower. When you trust in that, it's the safest place you could ever be. Like when you can just take a deep breath and say, okay, I want it, I've not gotten it. God's withholding, and I say, okay. Like when you can get to a place of trust in the Lord, and that's where God has some of you today, that today needs to be a day to submit to what God is doing in your life. You need to submit that God has withheld certain things. You need to submit that God has not pushed you forward some things, but he's held back. Or could it be that you need to submit to what God's voice is saying, hey, come on, move forward. Go with it. Some of you in this room, you've never trusted in Christ to save you. Maybe you were even here last week, and as we talked in depth about the gospel, you're like, man, I know it's what I need to do. I know it's what I need to do. And it was all a matter of timing. Like, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. And here's what I tell you. God's timing is everything. And here's what I know about God and what I know about his Holy Spirit. He will not let you go. And you can push it off again today, and here's what you will experience all week long. It's the drawing of God to Christ. And so today, if you've never met Jesus personally, I want to encourage you that what a time to be alive, what a day to get saved right here today in this room. Would you do that? I'm going to ask us to bow our head and close our eyes as we close today. Our staff is going to make their way to the front of each aisle, and here's what I'd say. If I just spoke about you, this is true also for those of you in the student building. We'll have one of our staff in there. If today you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus, then I'm going to ask you to make your way to one of the men or women that are coming forward right now. All you got to say is this, I know that I need to meet Jesus. And they will lead you to faith in Christ today. They'll answer any questions at all that you have whatsoever. Does that need to be you today? If I'm honest with you, today's message is really more for Christians. And it's really more of a, will you trust the Lord message? Will you trust him? Will you submit to what God is doing in your life? Will you submit to his plan right now? We're going to open up this altar as a place of your own sacrifice. The Bible calls us to be a living sacrifice. I wonder how many of you just need to come and get on your knees today and say, Lord, I just trust you. I submit to what you're doing, and my yes is on the table. Maybe you want to come to one of these men or women and just say, hey, this is what I'm walking through. Would you pray for me? We'd be honored to pray for you. Maybe you're walking through a Joseph season like the heartbeat monitor, just suffering. And you need somebody to put their arm around you. We'd love to do that today. Lord Jesus, we trust in you by faith to do a spiritual work that we cannot do on our own. We ask you to do that right now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.